Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Back in the days when I was doing research prior to writing The Art of Veterinary Practice, a bond and behavior-based communications text, I did some reading into farm animal husbandry, farm animal practices. I didn't want the book to be limited to companion animals. I didn't want to perpetuate that myth of concern and compassion being something reserved for pet dogs and cats. One of the academic books I read back then was about breeding dairy cattle. The authors began their discussion by noting that a genuine love for the dairy cow was the most important prerequisite of the successful farmer. And that stuck in my mind. I thought about that remark when I read about a relatively recent study of dairy cows that was conducted in Germany, specifically dairy calves. It's standard practice in some farms to immediately separate the calves from the mothers and keep them isolated in pens. To see whether there was any benefit of this or whether it might be detrimental, the researchers took 104 Holstein calves at a commercial dairy farm and they divided them into two groups. One group was a control group. The other group they stroked for 3 minutes a day for a period of 14 days after their birth. No big deal, theoretically. Of course, in a large commercial dairy operation, time is money. So, maybe from that perspective, it is a very big deal. But what were the benefits, if any? Well, they knew from previous studies that the calves and cows like this kind of stroking, and also that when they receive it, their heart rates fall. This didn't surprise me because this is the same thing that happens in other animals, in horses, in dogs, where it also depends on the human's relationship with the animal. They found that the calves that were stroked gained more weight before weaning than those who weren't. Okay, I get it. And it's a valid point. But it also made me think of something else that we lost and we lose when we lose the family farms. With family farms, maybe the farmer didn't have time to stroke calves. But I imagine that there were a lot of farms out there that included whole families, little boys and little girls. And maybe I'm being reversely chauvinistic here, but I think many little girls are suckers for baby animals. Not only little girls, females of all ages. Even old ladies like me, we see a baby anything, and it triggers the nurturing instinct. So that in these family farms, you would have these kids. And they weren't anthropomorphic. They might have named the animal, but they understood the reality of the situation. They knew about life and death. They knew that some of these animals would survive and some of them wouldn't. But that didn't change the way they shared this relationship with these animals. Now this raises the question, was there a genetic predisposition for this? Did this actually change the genetic makeup of the children as well as the calves? Were we dealing with epigenetic factors? In this case, the presence of the other. A nurturing child, a gentle woman, and a newborn calf who had been separated from his or her mom. And with the potential for that type of relationship been passed on to successive generations, I suspect it would have been. And when we talk about the loss of the family farm, we don't talk about that bond. Maybe the farmers themselves don't even look at it, but I'm sure the good ones know it. I'm sure that even those who keep up with all of the mechanical changes and the computerization and all the benefits of modernization still take time to hang out with their cows, to touch them, maybe to talk to them. And I like to think that they give their kids the opportunity to do that too. And I feel sorry for those cows who are raised in what are essentially bovine factories because they lose this. And I feel even sorrier for the human beings who will never recognize and experience the interspecies benefits that such a relationship can bring.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.